Okay, I just want to welcome everyone to today's session. This is Social Inequalities in Healthcare, sponsored by the APHA Student Assembly. My name is Gabrielle Foley. I'll be the moderator for the session today. I also happen to be the first presenter, so without further ado, I'll just begin my presentation. Currently, just to give you a brief introduction of myself, I'm a senior research assistant for a project called the Western New York Wellness Works Project. I'm currently working on a joint law epidemiology program at the State University of New York at Buffalo. I'm a JD PhD candidate in both the School of Law and the School of Public Health. And my research interests include policy level health promotion and the effect of built environment on health. In April 2008, I had the privilege of presenting at the Active Living Research Conference in Washington, D.C., and I'm a proud alumni of San Diego State here in San Diego, and I hope to work in health policy upon graduation in May 2009. Okay. The title of my talk today is Western New York Wellness Works, Regional Resource Center, Measuring and Evaluating the Health of Rural, Minority, and Underserved Worksites in Western New York. Just for the disclosure, I have no relationships to disclose. Just an introduction. The Western New York Wellness Works Regional Resource Center, or the RRC project, is a cross-sectional research initiative targeting the following worksites in Western New York: those that are located in rural areas, those which were underserved in terms of resources, and worksites which employ minority workers. So it was a cross-sectional study of these particular employee groups. It was also a regional resource center in terms of providing research findings, health risk appraisals, or HRAs, and educational materials to employers. And it was made possible by an approximately $20,000 grant from the J. Warren and Charles Donald Perry Memorial Fund, which was part of the Community Foundation for Greater Buffalo. So the study rationale, why did we do this cross-sectional assessment of these particular employer groups in Western New York? Well, this was an ancillary study to a larger study called the Western New York Wellness Works Project. This was a cohort study that ran from 2004 to 2008 that was community-based, it was observational. It engaged regional employers and employees in conducting pre- and post-assessments of two-year worksite health promotion interventions that were conducted at 10 different worksites. So we were looking at things similar to employee health and wellness. Could worksite wellness programs decrease employers' costs in terms of financial outcomes? Match funding was required to participate in this larger cohort study. So if an employer wanted to apply, they had to present half of the money to match what they were receiving from the grant. So there was a substantial financial component to this. This project was funded by a $1 million grant made possible by State Senator Mary Lou Rath. We actually were able to leverage over $700,000 of private funding through the match grant requirement. The baseline results indicated that minority employees were very much underrepresented in our sample. The majority of the employers were located in more high-density areas of Western New York, so we saw that there were real discrepancies in what this cohort was representing. Western New York. If any of you have been there, there are wonderful things about Western New York, and then we also have the second highest cardiovascular disease mortality rate in the country, only to be topped by Niagara County, which is actually a little bit north of us. So you might have seen this gentleman on some of the Buffalo Bills football games. We also have just issues with nutrition and physical activity like many other areas of the country, but they are a particular problem in Western New York. So the study aims for the Regional Resource Center were to assess the health risks of underrepresented populations from the larger cohort study by offering free health risk appraisals. This would create a database of HRA results that we would then be able to compare to our larger study. We also hope to increase awareness of individual level health risks by returning to all of the participant employees who completed an assessment a confidential healthy lifestyle profile that they could then bring to their doctor to share their results with. We also wanted to provide employers with aggregate reports of employee health risks, and these would be very useful in terms of program planning, in serving as a baseline for future interventions, and also as evidence for need for future grant applications that the employer might choose to do. So the design and methods for the RRC cross-sectional study. It was a community-based study that had recruitment and data collection ranging from May 2006 to December 2007. It was done on a rolling basis. So as work sites would hear that there were free assessments available, they were able to schedule an assessment time, and then we would be able to collect data. We had a single valid and reliable measurement tool that we used to assess employee health risks, which although sounds something very normal that we would seek to do, in terms of worksite health promotions, employers often use many different types of assessment tools, and it's then difficult to compare employee groups across different employers. Our outreach methods included targeted mailings to employers and networking through our main Western New York Wellness Works cohort study grantees. We also worked with the New York State Steps to a Healthier New York through Chautauqua County, which is one of the southern counties in Western New York, to be able to reach some of the more rural areas. The protocol for the study was approved by the University at Buffalo Health Sciences IRB, and all participants who completed our assessments signed an informed consent. So the tool that we used, it was a health risk appraisal. It was one that was developed by the University of Michigan Health Management Resource Center, originally based on the CDC HRA and the Carter Center HRA. It contained 51 questions about the following factors. It was in a scannable format, paper and pencil, and the validity and reliability of our measure had been established by prior studies. The University of Michigan actually has a database of over 2 million of these particular assessments that they've conducted. So it's one that is used by many companies, many employer groups in the United States. This is a picture of our tailored HRA that has our name at the top of it, but it is based on the University of Michigan HRA. It just gives you a sense of what the assessment tool looked like. Just things like age, height, weight, what is your blood pressure. These were all the different factors that we asked the participants with this tool. So who are our participating work sites? Well, after the program was finished, we found that the people that participated, the employers that participated, fell into three major categories. We had a large group from the Buffalo Public Schools. We had people from the administrative offices, from the elementary, middle, and high schools. They were very well represented. Other school districts were also a large group of people that responded to these free assessments. We had rural school districts and one suburban school district. We also completed HRAs at other work sites, including a Job Corps academy, rural county government offices, and finally, a nursing home and long-term healthcare facility. So this is a data collection summary for the health risk appraisals collected through this cross-sectional study. The total number of HRAs was 1,878. That resulted from 50 different HRA administrations when a trained researcher would go out and collect HRAs at the employer's location. Of that group, 36 of the HRA administrations occurred within the Buffalo Public Schools. They were very eager and took full advantage of this free opportunity. That resulted in 1,242 HRAs. Other school districts, that comprised 5 HRA administrations, resulting in 379 assessments. And other work sites were 9 HRA administrations, resulting in 257 HRAs. So when we look at aggregate risk status and compare our RRC study sample, the cross-sectional study, to our main cohort sample, we see some marked changes between the two groups. In terms of age, there was a significant difference. The RRC study sample was only 1 year older, but it was significant. Where we really saw interesting comparisons was in terms of knowledge of health. The RRC study sample, the percentage that reported that they knew their blood pressure was 41.7. as compared to 58.9% in the Wellness Works cohort sample. In terms of cholesterol knowledge, only 19.8% of the RRC study sample knew their cholesterol in comparison to 46.4%. There was a slightly higher percentage of people reported they were non-smokers in our RRC study sample, and we believe that might be a function of the fact that many of these people are educators working at schools and they might not be able to smoke on school grounds. In terms of physical activity, nutrition, and some demographics, the RRC study sample, there was a smaller percentage that reported physical activity 3 or more times a week. In terms of education, the RRC group was 77% reported that they were college graduates and above compared to our Wellness Works study sample. And when we look at some of the racial and ethnic identities, we did see that we had a higher percentage of non-white respondents in the RRC study sample as we had hoped to target, compared to 13.1% of our wellness work study sample. Of that group, on average, it was 7.9% of the sample was African American, compared to 4.9% in the wellness works cohort. And then Latino, 4.2% self-identified as Latino, compared to 0.5%. Household income was fairly similar in terms of people that reported having a household income greater than or equal to $50,000, but it was slightly higher among the RRC group. Okay. Now, in looking at our health risk status by worksite, this is now within our cross-sectional study, and looking at comparisons between our Buffalo Public Schools group, our other school districts group, so all teachers, support staff, and then finally other work sites, we saw some significant differences when we were able to compare the groups. So what this is a list of the significant pairs for multiple comparison Tukey's test, and the pairs are represented at the bottom. So an A shows a significant difference at 0.05 between pair 1 and 2, B, pair 2 and 3, and C, pair 1 and 3. So for age and gender, there were significant differences between the Buffalo Public Schools group and other work sites, and then between other schools and other work sites. For BMI, we see a real difference across all of the groups, all being significantly different from each other, with all of the average BMIs over 25, and the average BMI for other work sites being close to 30 at 29.3. We saw no differences in cholesterol, which is interesting because it's all the cholesterol reported is very much under what we would hope people's cholesterol value to be. We believe this is a function of the fact that many people don't know what their cholesterol value is. So those that could report in our survey that they knew their cholesterol value in terms of a number are people that are probably being monitored for it or might be under medication. For cholesterol and blood pressure knowledge, there were significant differences between the Buffalo Public Schools and other schools in terms of smoking. And there were no significant differences between the school columns. However, a significant difference between other schools and other work sites. Our non-smokers, we had a higher percentage of non-smokers within the schools as compared to other work sites. And really striking, only 16.5% of employees at the Buffalo Public Schools reported that they knew their cholesterol, as compared to 27.2% of other work sites. Okay, so now looking at some other factors, including our physical activity, our nutrition measures, and then different demographic measures. What we're seeing here, really striking to have so many A pairs, signifying that there are significant differences between the Buffalo Public Schools and other schools, with differences between all three groups in terms of fiber intake, those reported 5 or more servings of fiber a day, and education level. When we look at the racial ethnic categories, the majority of the respondents who reported that they self-identified as non-white were the employees from the Buffalo Public Schools group. There was 13.2% of the BPS staff who identified as African American, and 6.6% who identified as Latino, and we see that being the largest percentage of any of the groups that we surveyed. In terms of household income, the two school groups had reported over 73% had household income greater than 50,000, somewhat lower, only 54% of other work sites. Family history of heart disease, this is Western New York State, over 60% reporting a family history of heart disease. No significant differences between the groups on that. And then finally, family history of cancer, we see the two school groups around 62-63% reporting one or more immediate relatives having a family history of cancer, opposed to 72% of other work sites. The strengths of this study. It was a cross-sectional assessment of underrepresented work sites. These were work sites that were not a part of the larger cohort going on in Western New York through the availability of state money to do these work site wellness interventions. There was substantial buy-in from school districts. It really was remarkable to us how interested they were in conducting these assessments with their employees and being able to provide staff and help for us to be able to do the assessments. We also have the ability to compare this RRC study data to the larger wellness work study and then to other databases. Like I said, this is the same tool that's been used with over 2 million people through the University of Michigan, and to have those comparisons are very strong. Also, it was tremendous partnership building opportunity. We saw the School of Public Health and Health Professions as a service provider and a community partner, offering something for free to help people and to be able to collect data on the community's health. We also had tremendous networking opportunities with the participating employers. And finally, the aggregate HRA data is very useful for program planning to the particular employer and in their future grant application process. Some of the limitations, this study is based on self-reported data. However, as we know, self-reported data, including height, weight, and BMI, has been validated. We also use tools that had been validated multiple times before through other studies, so we feel confident that this measure is a good measure for aggregate health status. There's also a slight selection bias of work sites in terms of the fact that this was a non-randomized study. It was a free program that was offered, and participating work sites actually self-selected to participate and then to offer the HRAs to their employees. So we also saw that the employees who then completed an HRA were people that chose to do so and volunteered. Conclusions. School districts in particular were the predominant work sector who participated in the Regional Resource Center. We saw significant differences between employee groups in almost all health risk indicators. And we found that schools really are readily amenable to worksite wellness. There was a readiness to participate, on-site staff to help in data collection, and also in the organization of wellness committees. So hoping that these schools will now look at programming options now that they know what their employee health risk status is. And we also see the need for these evaluations to occur, and then for subsequent programming, particularly among these special populations. Just like to acknowledge some of my collaborators, Dr. Joan Dorn, who was the principal investigator of both the larger wellness work study and then the RRC cross-sectional study, the project coordinator, Cassie Hubble, John Crossley, a research assistant, and Maya Swanson, our data manager. And then finally, State Senator Mary Lou Rath, who appropriated the original money for the Wellness Works cohort, and the Community Foundation for Greater Buffalo, who funded this particular project. So thank you very much. This is Buffalo. Notice there's no snow. We have beautiful flowers. It's a wonderful place to visit. So hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.